Our reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark. We are in the fourth chapter. Jesus said, "This is what God's kingdom is like. It is though someone scatters seeds on the ground, then sleeps and wakes night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, but the farmer doesn't know how. The earth produces crops all by itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full head of grain. Whenever the crop is ready, the farmer goes out to cut the grain because it's harvest time." Jesus continued, "What's a good image for God's kingdom? What parable can I use to explain it? Consider a mustard seed. When scattered on the ground, it's the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all vegetable plants. It produces such large branches that the birds in the sky are able to nest in its shade." With many such parables, he continued to give them the word, as much as they were able to hear. Jesus spoke to them only in parables, then explained everything to his disciples when he was alone with them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Our lives are out of our control, and that's supposed to be good news. Our lives are out of our control. This seems to be what Jesus might be trying to tell us in our parables for today. I know parables, we can read them a million different ways. So for today, I want to just invite us to think about how Jesus is steering us as his disciples. Our lives are out of our control. Now, I imagine for some of us, we hear that, we nod our heads like, yeah, my life is just way out of control and it's got to be not me at all. And for others of us, we might be bristling just a little bit, or the gerbil in the back of our mind is trying to process what that means, because for so much of our lives, we convince ourselves we have control. For those of us who have financial means, we can buffet ourselves against the winds and the waves of expenses. You know, that hole in the roof that we don't expect, or the car that breaks down, or God forbid, the medical expenses that continue to pile up. Some of us will strive hard for our kids and our grandkids so they can succeed and have incredible success at whatever they're passionate about. Maybe it's art, or maybe it's academics, or it's athletics, but whatever they need, we'll get them to the trainers, we'll get them to the instructors, we'll get them to the tutors, so they can feel within themselves all that they are capable of, and hopefully we can even get our kids into the schools that we want them to be in. Some of us may have jobs, or maybe we've already had the jobs, where one day we can walk up to our boss and say, "Today I am done." And we get to dictate the terms of our own retirement and walk away with our 401s and our pensions, as opposed to our neighbors who are simply told one day, "You're done," and left with nothing. We have so many different ways where we try to manipulate and control our lives. We have so many different ways where we try to protect ourselves, care for our neighbors, care for this church and love this church, and care for our community. And Jesus seems to be coming to us today. Or one way to be hearing these parables for today is Jesus comes to us and says, our lives are out of our control. So a little bit of context. We are in the middle of chapter 4 in the Gospel of Mark. And at the very beginning of chapter 4 in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is hanging out with the crowds, because there's always crowds in the Gospels. And so the crowds have come and they need their healing, they need their demons cast out. And in chapter 4, Jesus seems to shift his ministry a bit, if you will, and he starts teaching. And he gives a parable that's kind of obscure and doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But then at verse 10, so this is before where we are at, but this tells us who Jesus is talking to. At verse 10, Mark tells us that Jesus begins talking to those who are close to him and the 12. Which means somewhere between verse 9 and verse 10, everybody is dismissed. Or they go back home to do their chores and get back to work, or whatever life has sent them to, they are no longer around Jesus. So when we get to our reading for today, Jesus is primarily just talking to you and me. He's not talking to the entire world. He's not talking to the vast community of Mount Morris. He's just talking to us, the ones who bother to show up on a Saturday night or a Sunday morning. We who spend our time in our devotionals and our meditations seeking how God is granting us forgiveness and life and all the good news that we need to hear. Jesus is talking to the disciples, the faithful followers who are learning and growing and following Jesus. And Jesus gives us these two parables. Weird as they are, Because in this first parable, we hear this story where it begins with someone. Well, we know who the someone is. The someone is a farmer. Farmer takes their seed and scatters it out in the field. And then note what happens next. The farmer goes to bed. And the farmer sleeps. And the farmer wakes. And the farmer sleeps. And the farmer wakes. And Jesus even says the farmer doesn't know how the seed grows. So I want to caution us a bit against that assumption that we all have that somehow with our science and our knowledge and our technology that we know more about agronomy than Jesus' people did. Jesus was always talking to farmers. I mean, we've heard the stories of the sheep and the goats and the weeds and the chaff and all that kind of stuff. These are people who have been doing farming for thousands of years already. They know what it means to plow and to till and to pull weeds. They know what it means to amend soils. They know what it means to put the right product down at the right time so they can maximize their harvest to feed their families and to make a profit. And yet in the story, Jesus is saying that the farmer just takes the seed and it almost sounds like it's chaotic, just throws it out in the field, let's see what happens. And then the farmer goes to sleep. Jesus is trying to push back against all those aspects of control that we convince ourselves that we have. From an agricultural standpoint, all the spreadsheets and the GPS and the science that we have that tells us how the seeds germinate and how they grow and the best moisture and the best soil and the best everything that we can do to maximize our harvest. Jesus is telling us to pull it all away, and we, as his disciples, we can hear within that all the ways that we try to control and manage how our lives are going to unfold exactly the way we want them to. And Jesus is pushing it all out of the way. And in our parable, Jesus tells us the farmer has no idea how this works. Because Jesus is trying to point us towards the mystery of God. And then even beyond that, it says that the earth is the one that dictates how the seed are going to grow. Well, we have no control over that. And then even beyond that, Jesus says in this weird parable that the seeds decide, the crop decides when the farmer is going to come back out and harvest that crop for the good of their family and for the good of their community. Jesus is talking to the disciples, to you and me. And he's reminding us that our call to follow him means that our lives are out of our control. It means we're called to follow him. It means we're called to listen to Jesus. We're called to go where Jesus says, to do what Jesus does, to be followers of Christ, to put our trust in him. But let's face it, we know how this works. When Jesus says, follow me, we say, sounds great, I'll get to you later, but I got to do the thing over here to help manage my life. We always turn away. Jesus knows that too. But Jesus keeps calling on us and keeps telling us that our call is to follow him, to trust that our lives are in his hands, to trust that our care is in his life. So Jesus keeps calling on us to follow him. I mean, that second parable, that mustard seed parable, some of us have probably heard that 1,000 times. This great parable of the tiniest of seeds, it's planted in the ground, it becomes this great plant that then shelters all the critters and the birds and is beautiful for creation and all those sorts of things. Besides the fact that some scholars say that the mustard seed was probably a weed, beyond that, in that parable, how does that seed get spread? It's not by anybody's hands. It's not by yours and mine. It just gets blown out the way dandelion seeds flutter about in the wind, and they always find that opportune spot, that crack in the ground that becomes that nuisance weed in our yard that we can never kill. It's beyond our control, but Jesus is reminding us that our call as disciples, he's not talking to the whole world. He's not talking to our community. He's talking to you and me. That our call is to follow him. That our call is to listen. Our call is to surrender our lives into his care. And we won't, because we need the control. We need to know how our lives are going to unfold. We need to know what our 5 and 10 and 20 year plan is going to be. Or maybe at this point, maybe it's for our kids, or maybe it's for our grandkids, it's for our future, it's for that unknown out beyond our reach. But if we can put everything in place, if we can set up our pensions, if we can set up our retirement, if we can set up our health insurance, if we can put all the pieces in place, well, then we know where we will land. And Jesus calls us out. And Jesus reminds us as his disciples that we're called to follow him. And by the way, we're post-resurrection people. We've read the last chapter of the story. We know where we're going. Jesus has taken us to the cross to remind us ultimately that our call is to give our lives to God. And we're not doing that just so we can die on some random cross on some hill in the middle of nowhere, but Jesus is calling on us to give our lives so that our neighbors can know that God's kingdom is at work in their life, even when we can't see it, can't believe it, can't know it. Jesus is calling on us to give our lives over so that we, through our life, can be a proclamation of God's generosity and love and grace for our neighbors, for Mount Morris, for our community, for our loved ones, and for our kids. But since we can't dictate the terms of this job description Jesus is giving to us, we turn away. So Jesus does it for us. He goes to the cross. And again, we're post-resurrection people. We've read the last chapter. We know how this plays out. Jesus takes on our pain, our suffering, our resistance, our anger, our frustration, our fists in the air, the walls and the barriers and everything that we put up against God, everything that we tell God that we don't need God for. It's great if God comes once in a while and hangs out with us in prayer. It's nice if God wants to come and show us a little love on a bad day. But otherwise, God can keep God's distance, and Jesus takes all of that, destroys it on the cross, and on the third day gives us life, new life. Not our lives. Jesus gives us his life. Because our lives are out of our control. So Jesus takes our old life. And in our language here in the Lutheran Church, we talk about being drowned in these waters and raised up again with Christ. We even sing a song that says, "We belong to Christ, in him we have been baptized." It's part of our proclamation language. Jesus is setting us free. Jesus is reminding us to put our trust in him, put our trust in God, to trust that God is moving and loving and caring and forgiving us, even when we can't see it, can't believe it, don't know it. And to follow him out into the world, out into our yard yesterday, where everybody was here listening to incredible music and enjoying great food. In a couple of weeks, when we're gathered out on the streets to watch the fire trucks and all the parade paraphernalia go by, in all of our joys, in all of our sorrow, in all of our disappointment, in all of our resistance, Jesus calls on us to love our neighbors. Because certainly we know, we've been there, we know our neighbors. Many in our lives, maybe we feel like our life right now is out of control, that it's spiraling, it's chaotic, and it's beyond our reach, and we can't even dictate what next week will bring. So even in that, Jesus comes to us and reminds us that he is near, offering us his love, his compassion, his forgiveness and his grace. God is near. God's kingdom is always at work, germinating, fertilizing, and bringing forth life so that we can then bring forth and proclaim God's life, breaking into this world and in the lives of our neighbors. Amen.